together to study, and we have the opportunity to do so. So grateful, so thankful to each and every one of you who are here today. As a kind of make mention in prayer, taking it led, we have the holiday coming up, Thanksgiving. Again, ask my wife. I usually say I don't like giving seasonal holiday sermons. Do from time to time, but when you get caught up in it, that means you kind of know what's coming up. You try to figure out a different way to bring out another lesson on the same point, the same topic. And usually when I give a lesson on Thanksgiving, I try to bring out, of course, the points of being thankful for all the spiritual things that we have, and gift of salvation, gift of Christ's sacrifice, His Word, many of those things that we often want to make sure we are always mindful that we are thankful for. But in all honesty, when we think about Thanksgiving, my mind usually comes to food. It's always a good time to eat. It comes to friends. I've already heard many bring out points, especially younger ones, that they gather together with others for Friendsgiving, as they like to call it. Gather together with friends and family. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Those are going to be my points as I look at it, because there are things in which we should be thankful for. As we are just our mindset, at least my mindset of what we usually do with Thanksgiving, gather together with friends and family, spending time, eating food. I know everybody has different traditions, different things they do, whether it's just sitting and talking, watching the Thanksgiving parade. With my family, it's playing cards or basketball and volleyball. And so that's what comes to my mind when I think about Thanksgiving. And they are all things in which we should be grateful for. So I ask that you open up your Bibles through the Word of God and see that is the case. And so I'm going to start off talking about food and bringing out that it is something that we should be thankful for. Something that I try to make sure every time I eat that I give God thanks for that food. And encourage my kids all to do the same. It's easy to get caught up, and it's a everyday thing. You sit down, you eat a meal 2-3 times a day, not more. You might snack around. And it's easy to go through and not give thanks for being able to have that food. You open up your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, the children of Israel, of course, fleeing Egypt, and God has blessed them and leading that, because they were slaves, they were servants. And here, as we read here, they're caught up, and of course they whine and complain, they grumble time and again about what they were going to eat or what they were going to drink. So here in Exodus chapter 16 and in verse 12, Exodus 16 verse 12 says, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, your God." So God provides for them. God makes sure that they even had some meat. God made sure that they had some bread. God brought water to them in a couple different ways. And so God made sure they were taken care of. But also, as we may take a reminder of what all took place with the children of Israel, you leave, they were slaves in Egypt. So not a good situation. But then they flee and they got caught up, worried, what are we going to eat? And God provides food. And then they get to the land, or they get to certain times when they're still hungry. Then they complain, well, I wish we were back being slaves, where we had pots of stew, we had plenty of food, where we, they get caught up. And again, I can see, and again, they get punished because they don't follow God completely, and so it seems that this is almost what they're living off for those 40 years. I'm sure as they possibly some water, they might have got some fish, and they've done some other things, but for the most part, their food was the meat that God gave them and the manna from heaven. And that's all that they had for the most part. Surviving off that, and again, how grateful I am that every day my wife is willing to make something different for us to eat. We have a variety of foods. And blessed in this nation that we have a variety of foods to make at home, variety of restaurants to go out to eat. We are so blessed. And do we give God thanks for the food we have? Again, God able to provide. God makes sure that we are taken care of. In John chapter 6 and verse 9. John chapter 6. And looking here and in verse 9, it says there is a boy here. As of course you have 5,000 that are gathered around. And the Lord asking, how are they going to, where are they going to get food? And they're, well, how even if there was a place, how could we buy it with this little amount of money? And would they have enough? And so here in verse 9, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that men sat down in 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves when he had given thanks and distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish as much as they wanted. And they had eaten their fill. He told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets of fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign he had done, they said, this indeed the prophet who is to come into the world, perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So here again, God, able to perform miracles to make sure that people were being fed. Those who had gone a long distance to come and to hear and to see what Jesus could do, he saw that and he had compassion in his heart. He saw that they were going to be hungry and he found a way to feed them. He made sure that they were fed. And God is there for us today. We may not receive this wonderful miracle and be fed bread and fish, or the miracle of manna coming from the heavens and waking up in the morning and there's the dew is bread basically on the ground, and that the birds being flown in and you have meat. But God has promised that he will take care of us. Matthew chapter 6, the reading and in verse 25, it says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And of course, as you read further along, he gives the example of how he takes care of this world. That he has helped the flowers, and he helps the birds, and not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Looking down to verse 31, it says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God's saying he's there for us. That as long as we put him first in our lives, as long as we seek first his kingdom, his church, the body of Christ, and his commandments, his righteousness, and we strive to live that faithful life in his service, he says, I'm not going to let you starve. I'm not going to let you go without what you need in order to live. And he's not promising that you'll get a steak dinner every night. But he's saying you'll be taken care of. Again, you know, I still enjoy having a bologna sandwich from time to time. I still enjoy my ramen noodles. I'm thankful that we have ramen noodles, that you can make a quick meal. And that it comes with that little packet of seasoning, that the seasoning, to me, tastes real good. I get on my daughter because she only used half of it, and it's too spicy for her. Like, you're wasting money. That's good spice. Use it all. But I'm thankful for that. Do we take advantage of how grateful we should be for what God has provided us for the food that we have, the variety that's there? Again, David making point here in Psalm 37, if you turn along with me. 37th Psalm. And in verse 25, Psalm 37 and verse 25, as it reads here, it says, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. And I would have to say, as king and as David, of course, he didn't start as king. He was someone who was a shepherd and raised with his brothers, and he went into the army, and you know, he probably saw people begging. He probably saw some people from time to time that were in bad places. But what he's bringing out the point here, he says, I've never seen the righteous get down to that point. Those who are faithful to God. Those who were keeping his commandments. Those who were not abusing the law. He says, I've never seen them forsaken or begging. God is there to take care of us. And part of that is that he's given us the ability to work, right? He's blessed us so that we can provide. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 there, it tells us, he who does not provide for his own is worse than an unbeliever. He's blessed us with that opportunity. And we should be grateful that we are able to work and be able to provide this food, that we're able to, whether it is a good meal or if it's maybe you might consider that poor man's meal, but we should be thankful we're able to do it. We're able to receive it. And 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10, there it tells us there, he who does not work, neither shall he eat. So there's so much more when we consider the fact that we are giving thanks for food, that we're giving thanks for all those who are capable of working, those who work the fields and be able to bring in all that they harvest, that those who work with livestock and they're able to get that to the market, and the work that you're able to do so that you can go buy the work that those work. I mean, there's so much. That is all together just in that mindset that we are thankful for our food. And so, yeah, when Thanksgiving comes along, I think of food. I think of the food that we're able to have. Food, and of course, the variety of food that comes when you gather with so much family or friends and the different things that everybody brings in. How grateful we should be for that. How thankful we should be for that. And continuously, again, a reminder that it's not just once a year that we should be thankful for those things. We should be thankful for good friends. I'm going to start off with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, where it's warning us, be not deceived, evil company corrupts good habits, that we need to make sure that we are on guard, that we consider who it is we call our friends, our best friends, those who we spend most of the time of our lives with. That there is a caution that they can lead you astray, which should help us even more when you find that good friend, to be thankful. Be thankful to have a friend that you can go to and talk. Be thankful for a friend who will keep you accountable. Thankful for those good friends that we have in our lives. Come along with me to Psalm 27. 27th Psalm, if you will. Psalm 27, looking at verse 9. As it reads here, it says, hide not your face from me, turn not your servant from anger. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Is that what I got up? That's what I got up there. I got the wrong thing up there, so I'm jumping ahead. All right. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Maybe I have to go get my eyes checked. All right. If you read here, it says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness a friend comes from his earnest counsel. So it brings out the sweetness of a friend. How it comes from earnest counsel. Again, a friend who is going to be true to you. He's not going to sit there and just weigh your heart and say, I know what you really want, and so go for it. But he's going to tell you what is best for you. Not just what you want, but what is the best in your case, in your scenario, and tell you, look, that may be what you want, but that's not going to be the good choice. That's not going to end well. You're going to get caught up in a bad situation if you go down that road. One who's going to be true to you. And not just be there to please you and to be a yes person, always saying yes to everything you say, but willing to tell you no when that time comes. A friend that's always there, a friend that seems closer than even maybe your own family. In Proverbs 18 and verse 24, Proverbs 18. And in verse 24, it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And a good example of that maybe be Jonathan and David. We see how close those two become. 1 Samuel chapter 18, if you will. We'll read a little bit about them. And this is just a brief point that it makes out. There's so much that went between these two men. And 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1, it says, as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. And they were so close. They were there for one another. Jonathan, you know, he never once fought David into the point of saying, well, I am the son of the king. I should be king next. I understand you were anointed. I understand why my dad's chasing you off. He put that behind for his friendship with David. Their souls were knit together. They had love for one another. They were there, and they were there for each other. David, even after Jonathan passes away, remembers the covenant he had made with him. And keeping that in mind when things were going bad for his family and his children, and that he tried to save Jonathan's son. We have friends that we care about so much that we're willing to take a time aside. Again, as brought out, there are those who have Friendsgiving, that they just take time away from just regular family Thanksgiving and spend time with their friends. And again, how thankful we should be for that friend. That's going to keep you accountable. That's going to be there for you during the hard times. How grateful we should be for that. Again, we should be grateful for our family. Thankful for the family that we have with each other. And we can go and read through Ephesians chapter 5 and talk about the husband and the wife's role. But be thankful that we have that companion to be with as you read through that. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body and himself and Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that he might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Again, as we read through that, to get to this point that we're talking about, that we're thankful for our husband, and you're thankful for your wife, well, the relationship does need to be right. We're not in a good relationship, and we're not, as husbands, loving our wives as Christ has loved the church, willing to sacrifice things for her as Christ sacrificed himself for the church, to present the church as holy and blessed and beautiful, that we do those things for our wife, that are they going to be thankful for you? Are kind words going to come out? And why is it with the respect and the love and the submissiveness that comes in that, and how, again, that thankfulness will come if the relationship is right? Because when God created marriage, we go back to the beginning, he looked at Adam and said, it is not good that man should be alone. There's not anything on the world that is compatible with them. And so he created Eve so that the two could become one. If you were to go back to Proverbs 18 and go up to verse 22, we read verse 24 talking about friends. Verse 22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Again, it's supposed to be a blessing. Something that we are thankful for, so grateful for, that God has blessed us with. And then we go along with our parents and children in chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents. And the Lord, for this is right, honor your father and mother, This is the first commandment which promised that it is that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so again, that relationship there, that we should be thankful that you have parents that care. Thankful that you have parents that are willing to teach you, even discipline you, to point you in the right direction. Again, something that you may not see right off the bat. Something that we understand as we get older. But it's something that we should be thankful for. There are so many parents that have nothing to do with their children. I have a personal brother that has nothing to do with his children. We need to be thankful for our parents, and parents thankful for our children. Again, the Word of God tells us the one who has his quiver full is blessed, right? Grandpa was quoting that verse. Then he'll say how many grandchildren and great-grandchildren he has. But it's a blessing that God has given us to have children, to be able to teach them, to guide them, to raise them. And of course, in all things, that as things go around, that we raise them and things come back to it, as we read in 1 Timothy 5, that they're going to be there for us when we get older. Talking about the widow who is a widow indeed. But it says if she has believing children, they're going to take care of it instead of the church. And so we're there for one another. So grateful, so thankful for the time that we get to have a reason, an excuse that we shouldn't have to have an excuse of Thanksgiving to gather with our family, but it helps. It's a time that the rest of the world somewhat understands and gives people days off of work and allows you to have that time. We're thankful for our family. We're thankful for our brothers and sisters. And here in 1 Timothy 5, and I know that it's talking about the brethren in Christ here, but if you read with me, it says, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, and younger men as brothers, and older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters in all purity. If we can see that he's trying to get us to understand that as a family in the church, a family in Christ, we treat each other this way, it's saying something on how a family's supposed to work, how you're supposed to treat your brothers at home, your sisters at home. That you look at them differently. If you don't have bad thoughts and get caught up in lusting after your sister, you look at them with purity. You look at them as someone that you're going to protect. You look at them as someone who you're going to be there for. That's how it should be in the church, and that's how it should be at home and with your brothers. We're there for them. We help each other. And they call, you answer. How grateful we should be if you have siblings that are there for you. Things that we should be thankful for. We go and even talk about our grandparents and grandchildren in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. Proverbs 17 and verse 6. All blessings from God. It says, grandchildren are the crown of the age. The glory of children is their fathers. Grandchildren. Again, we are so grateful kids, they need to learn and understand how grateful they should be to be able to know their grandparents. Especially if we have generation after generation be able to continue to help with leading them in the Word of God, helping parents instruct them and guide them in what is right. Again, I know there are those who are first generation who might, quote, first-generation Christians, didn't have parents or grandparents to help point you in the right direction. But now that you're in that situation, you're able to do that, how grateful you should be and how grateful children should be, grandchildren should be for that. Be there for one another, to help and encourage each other. So I finished the lesson by saying we need to be giving thanks. Aaron had read this morning in James chapter 1, verse 17, to remind us that every good and every perfect gift comes from God. Let us remember that means even the food that we eat, it's a blessing from God. Your friends that you have is a blessing from God. Your family that you have is a blessing from God. Psalm 95, verse 2. the 95th Psalm, looking at verse 2. As it reads here, it says, "Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make joyful noise to him with songs of praise." Again, as we gather together this morning, as we're here, we sing these songs, should we not be thankful and grateful for all the things that he's blessed us with? Thankful for everything that he continues to do for us. One more psalm, Psalm 106, and in verse 1, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." He's always going to be there for us. He's always there to help and assist us. He's blessed us with every good and perfect gift that is in our life. So let us always continue to give thanks. Let us, as we go through this week of Thanksgiving, be thankful for the small things, for the big things, whatever it may be. Let us give thanks to God always. If you're here this morning, you have not obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to do so. If you're here, you have obeyed, and you need the prayers of the brethren, if there's anything else we can do for you, let it be known as we stand in the city.